Welcome to the news with NDTV. It's Monday, March 25th. In today's episode, BJP announces Wayanad candidate against Rahul Gandhi as Congress presents nomination against PM Modi in Varanasi. JNU elects its first Dalit president in nearly 30 years. Aam Aadmi Party questions BJP's silence on electoral bonds. And Russian authorities charge four accused with terrorism. First up, ending rumours of fielding a national minister or leader against Congress's Rahul Gandhi in Wayanad, Bharatiya Janata Party has named Kerala BJP chief K. Surendran for Kerala's Wayanad constituency. It was earlier rumoured the party planned to keep Mr. Surendran free from electoral contests and employ him for campaigns across the state. The Wayanad constituency has been a bastion of Congress-led United Democratic Front and later Congress. After losing his family stronghold Amethi in Uttar Pradesh to BJP's Smriti Irani, Mr. Gandhi contested and won from Wayanad in 2019. BJP is also adding many new faces this year. Actors Kangana Ranaut from Mandi in Himachal Pradesh and Arun Govil, who played Lord Ram in popular TV serial Ramayan, from Meerut in Uttar Pradesh. And Congress is sticking with UP Chief Ajay Rai as the candidate for the Varanasi Lok Sabha constituency. Mr. Rai has lost the seat twice to PM Modi. In 2014, PM Modi won with over 56% vote share, while Mr. Rai managed to get around 75,000 votes. Arvind Kejriwal had come in second with a margin of over 3.5 lakh votes. In 2019, PM Modi won again with a 63% vote share. Meanwhile, the faces in Maharashtra are not clear yet, as both alliances in the state have no consensus. As the country will enter polling booths on April 19th for the first phase of the Lok Sabha election, the last date for filing of nominations of the candidates is 28th March in this phase. Both the leading Mahayuti with BJP, Eknath Shinde's Shiv Sena and Ajit Pawar's NCP are deliberating on a seat-sharing deal for the 48 seats in the state. And the United Opposition Mahavikas Aghadi is in a similar situation, with alliance members Congress, Shiv Sena, Uddhav Bal Thackeray and Sharad Pawar's NCP, all reportedly displeased with the offers made so far. The MVA also has to accommodate Shiv Sena partner Vanchit Bahujan Aghadi, led by Prakash Ambedkar. And sources suggest VBA has been offered four seats. Next, the Jawaharlal Nehru University Students Union, or JNUSU, on Sunday elected its first Dalit president after almost three decades. Dhananjay from the left-backed All India Students Association, or ISA. The United Left panel managed a clean sweep in the election, winning all four posts of the student body, defeating its nearest rival, the RSS-affiliated Akhil Bharati Vidyarthi Parishad, or ABVP. The election took place after a hiatus of 4 years due to pandemic, lockdown and later the PhD admission process. The United Left panel comprises ISA, Democratic Student Federation or DSF, Student Federation of India or SFI and the All India Students Federation or AISF, and also supports Birsa Ambedkar Phule Student Association or BAPSA. The left front united to fight against ABVP. Dhananjay, who hails from Gaya in Bihar, is the first Dalit president from the left, after Bhattilal Bairwa, who was elected in 1996-97. Speaking to news agency PTI after the win, Dhananjay said, and I quote, "This victory is a referendum by the students of JNU, that they reject the politics of hate and violence. The students have once again shown their trust in us. We will continue to fight for their rights and work on issues that concerns the students." And quote. The win was marked by slogans of Lal Salam and Jai Bhim. Red, white and blue flags were waved by the students to celebrate the left's victory. Avijit Ghosh from the SFI trounced ABVP's Deepika Sharma for the vice president post, while the left's Mohammad Sajid won the joint secretary post, defeating ABVP's Govind Dangi. BAPSA candidate Priyanshi Arya, who was supported by the left, won the general secretary post by defeating ABVP's Arjun Anand. Earlier, the United Left had fielded Swati Singh as the candidate for the General Secretary post, but her nomination was cancelled by the election committee hours before the polling. Following this, the Left Alliance urged the students to vote for Arya. And next, Aam Aadmi Party has written a letter to BJP, questioning its silence over the matter of electoral bonds they received and claimed BJP was using the donors against Aam Aadmi Party. The party held a press conference this weekend and alleged they could link bonds encashed by BJP with donors related to the liquor policy scam. Aam Aadmi Party Supremo and Delhi Chief Minister Arvind Kejriwal is behind the bars in this case. The ED arrested Mr. Kejriwal on March 21st. Next day, the Enforcement Directorate claimed a trail of Rs. 100 crore could be established, proving the now-scrapped Excise Policy 2021-22 was rigged and some liquor trade barons paid bribes to facilitate it. However, the next day, Aam Aadmi Party Minister Atishi claimed that data provided by SBI showed electoral bonds worth nearly Rs. 60 crore from Aurobindo Pharmaceuticals Director Sharad Chandra Reddy towards Bharatiya Janata Party. Mr. Reddy was arrested in the excise policy scam case and was granted bail later. The bonds were donated between his arrest and release, the Aam Aadmi Party claims. Mr. Reddy is also an approver in the case now, which means he is a witness for the Enforcement Directorate. Addressing the media, Delhi Minister Saurabh Bhardwaj said, and I quote, "This is not an allegation against BJP. It is a fact. We have shown concrete proof. This is established on the website of the Election Commission of India that BJP has recovered donations from the prima facie accused in the alleged Delhi excise policy." Sharad Chandra Reddy, who was also titled as the kingpin in the scam after his arrest, unquote. Adding that they are stunned at the silence of top BJP leaders over these allegations. Now, Aam Aadmi Party Secretary Pankaj Gupta has written to BJP President JP Nadda, asking him to, quote, "bring out the truth in public," unquote. In his letter, he has asked Mr. Nadda to reveal the relationship between Mr. Reddy and the political party and tell the public why the party took Rs. 60 crore from him. The party on Sunday also announced a mega rally, backed by the Joint Opposition Alliance India Bloc, to protest against Mr. Kejriwal's arrest. They are seeking permission to hold the rally at Delhi's Ram Leela Maidan on March 31st. Breaking from breaking news, US Vice President Kamala Harris's faux pas in Puerto Rico has gone viral. VP Harris encountered a man singing in Spanish at a community center during her official visit. In response, she smiled brightly and clapped along the song's rhythm. However, her musical joy stopped when her aide translated the Spanish lyrics. The loosely translated words are, quote, "We want to know, Kamala, what did you come here for? The vice president is here making history. We want to know what she thinks of the colony. Long live Free Palestine and Haiti too," unquote. And the vice president quickly stopped her applause. She faced many protesters blocking her motorcade earlier as well, alleging her of supporting war crimes and shouting pro-Palestine slogans. Now back to news. Four men accused of involvement in the Moscow concert hall attack that killed at least 137 people in Russia have been charged with terrorism on Sunday and ordered to be detained pending trial. All four face a life sentence in prison, a statement from Moscow's Basmany District Court said. The court said two of the defendants had pleaded guilty. One of them from Tajikistan entirely acknowledged his guilt, the statement said. BBC described the courtroom scene as, quote, "Three were marched bent double into a Moscow court, while the fourth was in a wheelchair," unquote. Although the Islamic State group has claimed responsibility for the attack, Russian President Vladimir Putin appeared to suggest Kyiv's involvement when he claimed that the alleged culprits were trying to flee to Ukraine. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky and United States have dismissed any suggestion that Kyiv was involved in the attack. Russian officials say they have arrested 11 people in connection with Friday night's attack at the Crocus City Hall in Moscow's northern suburb of Kragnogorsk, including four of those who carried out the killings. And lastly, 2022 recorded the lowest child deaths, a study has reported. The number of children who died before their fifth birthday has reached a historic low, dropping to 4.9 million in 2022. According to the latest estimates released by the United Nations Interagency Group for Child Mortality Estimation, or UNIGME, it also noted neonatal deaths, or infant deaths, have decreased by 44% since 2000. UNICEF Chief Executive Director Catherine Russell said, and I quote, "Behind these numbers lie the stories of midwives and skilled health personnel helping mothers safely deliver their newborns, health workers vaccinating and protecting children against deadly diseases, and community health workers who make home visits to support families to ensure the right health and nutrition support for children," unquote. The report also reveals that more children are surviving today than ever before, with the global under-5 mortality rate declining by 51% since 2000. It shows how prioritizing funds for primary healthcare, including child health and well-being, is of utmost importance, as many low and lower middle income countries have outpaced this decline. That's all for today. You were listening to The News with NDTV, your daily newspaper and TV bulletin wrapped in a compact podcast. If you want to catch up with the day's events in a hurry, do remember to subscribe to The News with NDTV on Apple, Spotify and the NDTV News app. This is your host, Anviti, signing off.